Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Mike Sando from The Athletic. Mike, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
Yeah, doing well. Thank you.
So, Mike, obviously, Titans fans are picking up the pieces from what we saw last weekend against Cincinnati. A very disappointing performance from Ryan Tannehill with three interceptions in the game. I'm just curious your thoughts on that game itself and what you think this could mean for Ryan Tannehill as the Titans try to move forward here with a roster that I think most fans feel like is good enough to win the Super Bowl, and they're just not so quite sure about the quarterback anymore.
Well, everybody would like to have Mahomes and Josh Allen, right? And there's only a few of those guys, and he's not on the Titans. So, you know, what are you going to do? You could gamble on somebody in the draft, but, you know, you're probably going to get worse. Or you can try to replace him with probably another Tannehill-level player who might not be as good, right? If you're in that who's the veteran guy available, you know, are you going to make a trade for Kirk Cousins? Right, that's not really getting you much better. If one of those special veteran guys somehow becomes available, do you give up everything you've got to try to get him? Yes, you could, except remember, those guys have no trade clauses, so they can decide where they want to go, and then it's up to, you know, a lot of other factors that are beyond any one team's control. So, you know, I don't know what people expect. To me, I thought one of the lessons of these playoffs was all the talk about we're getting this guy back or that guy back. It doesn't always just plug in and make everything happy. Again, look at the Packers. Hey, we're getting Jair Alexander, Za'Darius Smith, and David Bakhtiari back. It's going to let the good times roll. We're going to be amazing. And then Bakhtiari doesn't play. Za'Darius Smith does. I don't remember Jair Alexander doing this or that. It didn't make this huge difference. I think for the Titans, the way the season went, hey, we're getting Henry back, we're doing this and that. You know, it wasn't a cohesive thing throughout the year, so that probably got them as much as anything. I don't personally think, you know, you're going to get a great effort from or a great performance from Tannehill every week. That's why he's in whatever tier two or the bottom of it sometimes, right?
Yeah, it's been I think it's been a week here, Mike. Well, I know. I mean, for me, look, I was very surprised by how well Tannehill played in 19 and 20. He was not good in the playoff last year, but Saturday still changed my view of him, even from what it was. Even though he had kind of not a great year, there were so many other factors. It was hard to kind of, you know, it's hard to pick through that and know like what's on him. Is it the OC change, all that stuff? But he really botched this game. And so now we are in the city of Nashville talking about these fantasy scenarios. So you've written extensively about Aaron Rodgers and his situation, in your pick six column, but you know, of course, the Seattle organization very well. What is the feasibility? If you're just talking from the Titans' perspective of finding some way to pull a trade for either of those guys?
Well, like I said, both of them have no trade clauses. Russell Wilson last offseason through his agent put out a list of teams that, you know, hey, I would consider these. And, I think Dallas was on it, and Chicago were on it, the Raiders were on it, there was one other one, Saints, I think. Well, okay, let's update. He ain't going to want to go to the Saints. Sean Payton ain't right there. The Raiders, I suppose, we could see what would happen there. Chicago drafted Justin Fields since then, and by the way, Dak Prescott makes $40 million a year in Dallas, so he may have to reset on his expectations based on if he really wants to get out and how badly he does. I think it's a long shot to think that probably either one of them changes, but then they go to any one specific team. How do you handicap that? What are the odds that if we just got their agents to tell the exact truth, where would Tennessee be on the list? Right? Is it going to be in the top 10? Is it going to be a no, none at all? Right? Those things are probably it's a long shot, It's really, really a long shot. So what ends up happening is the guys that become available are Jimmy Garoppolo. They're basically Ryan Tannehill. Their own fan bases can't know they can win with them, but also know that you can lose with them.
Mike Sando from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Mike, to that point, I think both Joe and I are in total agreement with what you've said. I'm just curious, from the Russell Wilson standpoint of things, what's that relationship like now at this point between he and the organization and Pete Carroll and everything going on there? What's kind of the situation like now for Russell in Seattle?
Yeah. I don't think there's anything openly hostile between Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. And the team, for its part, really hasn't stirred up anything that I can see. It seems to be mostly coming from his side, and I think he's frustrated by the fact that it hasn't gone as well from a team standpoint in the playoffs. And then, he's frustrated a little bit by the fact that, Pete Carroll has, wants to have the run game be a big component of this thing. I think most people have come to realize, even the fans in Seattle have shifted a little bit towards the team point of view here, that, hey, Russell Wilson's at his best when they do run the ball a lot. So I think he wants to be a little bit more of, hey, this thing revolves around me as a passer. Well, is that the way that Tennessee wants to play with Derrick Henry?
Right?
Tennessee wants to play like Pete Carroll wants to play, right?
Yeah.
And like Kyle Shanahan wants to play. And like a lot of the coaches want to play. So I have felt like the issue between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks could be resolved just with semantics. Like, to me, Pete Carroll should probably just talk a little bit more about how it revolves around his quarterback and still play the way he wants to play, which is a really effective way of playing. It makes Russell Wilson, when they have the run game going, I mean, Russell Wilson's amazing. We even saw it the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season with Rashad Penny, who was the leading rusher in the league the last 4 or 5 weeks of the year. And shoot, it looked like old times. They scored 50 in one game. They were, beat Arizona by 2 touchdowns, even though they gave up defensive scores. It was, part of it. So I think those are kind of the issues. And we're going to find out this offseason how far he's willing to push it. Because I think most of these big-time quarterbacks do care about their legacies. They don't want to tick off the fan base. They kind of want to go up to the line and see if they can, affect change. But is he going to really throw a tantrum and say, I have to be out? I don't know. And if I'm Pete Carroll coming back at age 70, do I want to start fresh with a new quarterback? That's tough. Maybe you get someone in return. So if I'm a Tennessee, I'm like, hey, look, we'll give you Tannehill. Look at the cap situation. But I think Seattle would have to get a quarterback back that Pete Carroll thinks he could win with, and probably somebody like a Tannehill would be that type of guy if you could get him in return.
All right, so you're saying there's a chance, Mike.
Yeah, there is. I mean, it's remote, but there's something there, right? There's some kind of smoke there. There's some kind of fire there. I just don't think it's the whole house on fire, I think it's littler stuff.
So, Mike, in your column, when I read this, I was like, that's exactly what went through my mind. One of my great childhood sports memories is Dolphins Chargers. Winslow carried off the field. Dan Fouts is like one of my childhood.
Legend.
Oh, I love the guy. I thought of that. I thought of the drive and some of the other great moments over the years, but. And I know we're all prisoner of the moment to some extent, but was that the greatest weekend? Was that the greatest divisional round?
I think it was. I'm a huge prisoner of the moment. My wife totally makes fun of me because, whatever meal I'm having is the best one ever. Oh, this is amazing. She's like, yeah, that's just what you say every time you're stuffing your face with something, okay? It's not the best ever. But I think it was. I think to have 4 games come down to the last play and then to have it topped off with, these two emerging quarterbacks. Mahomes has already emerged, but Josh Allen suddenly looks like a superstar. To have Rodgers and Brady kind of vanquished, and then to have this new guard of guys, Burrow has Cincinnati in the mix. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was great. Now, look, coaching problems by Buffalo were an issue that made that happen, but that's football. That's what happens, and it gives us plenty of things to debate and talk about. And I did really love it. I do compare it to those to that Charger type of a game where you're just on the edge of your seat. And as I wrote in my column, my 81-year-old mother was texting me after the game. That doesn't happen, I mean, she's not. Those games that transcend so much that your 81-year-old mom is totally into it. That's when you know that you know, this is beyond just the stuff that guys on sports radio are talking about. Everyone was talking about that.
Yeah, it was incredible.
That's pretty awesome. Mike, what do you think of the chances of Joe Burrow and the Bengals going into Arrowhead and coming out with a win this weekend?
You know, I really favor Kansas City at home, but shoot, Cincinnati just beat them 3 or 4 weeks ago. I know it was in Cincinnati, and we'll see. I think from a Chiefs standpoint, you feel pretty good about your ability to rush the passer at home, you know, and especially Joe Burrow's been sacked a lot. So that's where I give the edge to Kansas City. It's going to be really loud, amazing there. And I think Mahomes obviously has recaptured whatever was missing a little bit during the year when they were struggling. So I do favor Kansas City, but I give the Bengals a puncher's chance in it. I think their quarterback is special, Joe Burrow. And, you know, obviously Ja'Marr Chase is special. The combination of those two guys together is special. And he could have a 250-yard game, and it could be coming right down to the end. So I think we all want to see if Cincinnati might do it, but we know that that's going to be tough going into Arrowhead when, you know, they're probably going to be able to rush the passer decently against Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's a good game. I have higher hopes for the other one. I think we may get a really good one there. It's just really interesting that Shanahan has had this streak against McVay. But also, Mike, speaking of last weekend, it's so easy to get lost in it, but I thought, given all of the things the Rams did in a game they should have won going away, and all the things that they did I thought they were going to squander that game. I really thought Stafford's performance was an all-timer. Just for him to overcome that, what do you think about that, and what do you just think about him and what he's done, you know, for his legacy and what could be here in the short term for him?
You know, I thought their trade actually – I thought win or lose the Tampa game, the trade had worked for them because they had gotten so much better on offense. Now, they'd fallen off on defense, but they got their offense back to those 2017, like, McVay first-year level, and that wasn't going to happen if Goff was there. So I give them a check mark that it was a great move, whether or not they won or lost that game. But the fact that they won it, with some of their best other players screwing it up. Cam Akers lands on his head and coughs up the ball at the goal line. Cooper Kupp fumbles. I mean, those were the types of plays that we're expecting Stafford to make over the years, right? And I guess he still could, but I thought that I'm with you where I thought the Rams should have won that game by 30, and they were really close to winning it by 30. And then when it got really nerve-wracking at the end, hey, he made some great throws and plays. So I think it's great for his legacy. I think one of the other things I wrote about, too, is some of these guys, when you're in a really bad place, you know, whether that's Detroit, whether that's Jacksonville for Jalen Ramsey, you know, you're probably smart to try to get out of there because your legacy and just the enjoyment you have playing changes completely, right? If Jalen Ramsey's in Jacksonville, he put up with Urban Meyer this last year, right? I mean, that's justifiable. That's like justifiable whatever, right? Justifiably storming off the job. Like, maybe Jalen Ramsey and Stafford didn't really storm off, but he asked out. You know, those are pretty good career moves by those guys.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't think there's any question about it. Mike Sando from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Mike, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Great, thank you.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Mike Sando, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Mike had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game tonight for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. You can have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Edmonton Oilers. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 8 p.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry.
Did you just choose that Blue Oyster Cult?
Yes, you did.
Blue Oyster Cult rocking. I like it.
To be honest, Joe, I literally just clicked a button because I was recording something, doing something. But hey, I'm glad you loved it.
It worked.
Yeah, man. Underrated little Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah. Thanks to Mike Sando for joining us in the last segment. Good stuff, good information as always. Seth texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I didn't know Dan Fouts was one of Joe's favorite players.
Okay. I'm sure you're me. Friend of the show, Dan Fouts. And now I actually just slacked Mike Sando in the Athletic Slack channels and said, you know, we Fouts fans have to stick together.
Yes.
You know, these kids don't know.
Also,
Dan
guys,
Fouts, baby. Eric Coryell.
You didn't even address the breaking news that happened.
Oh, yeah. Big
in
Ben.
In the NFL.
Big Ben official.
Is that really news?
Big Ben has officially retired.
That it's news. But we all knew that was coming. But yeah.
Well,
Ben,
yes.
Ben Roethlisberger officially retired.
Thank
2-time Super Bowl champion.
Never been a part of a losing team.
Future Hall of Famer. Yeah, it is kind of amazing. I mean, it's amazing to play that long and never have a losing
season.
Even
this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this team should have gone 6-11. But they somehow ended up in the playoffs.
Largely because of him. But yes.
Yeah.
Terrific career.
By the way, Dan Fouts, as we pointed out before, 254 touchdowns, 242 interceptions.
Nah, different time.
Slinging it.
Different era. Hey, you know what?
Just chucking it.
Yeah.
That ball is going to be caught by somebody, and he didn't care who.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think he threw it through his receivers, and then probably a safety caught it.
Yeah.
You know? Great player.
What'd you think of Sando's take on the Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers situation, and just how realistic one of those quarterbacks would be? He did not slam the door on the Russell Wilson part of this, I will say. He didn't do it.
That's true. He didn't. I mean, you know, Jared's listening to that. He's like, aha, see? I told you this is happening. But, yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I think with both of them, I don't know what Vegas – does Vegas have odds on this? I still think it's way more likely, and you may disagree with me on Rodgers, but I think even more so with Wilson, that they just are still with both of these teams next year.
I would agree. If I had to select a most likely outcome for Rodgers, it's that he's back with Green Bay. I don't feel great about it, but I mean, that would be the most likely.
And as you know, as Mike wrote in a piece I tweeted when we put him on, like the Rodgers, think about Rodgers and what he said last year when it ended, when they lost to the Bucks.
My future is a beautiful mystery.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
But he was, you know, I mean, he's ripping LaFleur's fourth down call, and like obviously things weren't good with Gutekunst, and now after this game, he's talking about how they went to the beach and hung out and stuff. You know,
everything's so, all good.
Yeah, I mean, it's still like if you're Rodgers, yes, you could go to the Broncos, but now again, now you're in a way tougher division. Where you are, I mean, what is your primary concern? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're staying in to win another ring, which is, I think, what it is,
yep.
How is that not better option? Now, with Russell Wilson, certainly you could look at the Seahawks right now.
Get out of the division.
Well, that's true. And you could look at it and say, okay, but how much of their badness this year, they weren't supposed to be bad, how much of it was the fact that he missed a big chunk of the season.
It's,
you know, they played better at the end.
I mean, they got some work to do defensively.
Yes. No question. But it's not like they're destitute. I mean, they don't compare to, you know, like the Lions from a year ago, for example. But you know what? It's good to have these things to talk about.
Yeah.
Because we don't know that they won't happen. So we can talk about how they might happen.
Well, I mean, the Rodgers part of it is it's interesting because I still think him coming back to Green Bay is probably the most likely option. I mean, I guess retirement. I mean, I don't think he's lying when he says that he's considering retirement. I just, if you've won back-to-back MVPs, which he's going to win MVP this year, and you go out in the divisional round the way you did, obviously you can still play at a pretty high level. Like, I just, why would you retire at this point? Unless you just, I guess, you could just don't want to go through the grind again. I don't know. I mean, everybody reaches that point eventually. But the other part of it is, like, if you're for the Packers, they're $40-something million in the hole right now on the cap. Like, there's not a scenario where they're a better team coming back next year. Like, they're going to lose some guys. So you factor that in as well.
But the scenario, and this is true of the Titans. So think of the Titans coming off those three straight average seasons, you know, 97 or 6, 7, and 8, and all of a sudden they're great. A big reason, they drafted Javon Curse in the first round.
Exactly.
You know, so the draft, is the hope. The draft, also, you hope you get 2-3 absolute difference makers out of the draft.
Yep.
That's what the Titans' hope has to be, too. They have to hope that, you know, this offense, which will be quarterbacked by Ryan Tannehill and coordinated by Todd Downey, has a receiver who can stretch a defense, has a tight end who you can build around for the future, has, you know, better blocking, but that's going to be a neat trick.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, there's always the draft.
There is. And we'll see if the Packers draft a quarterback this year in the first round.
Oh, yeah?
See if that happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Someone to challenge Jordan Love.
You know, never didn't see that one coming, so you never know, I guess. Oh, really?
Remind me again of some of the players they could have had instead of him.
Well, the problem is right before they picked Jordan Love, Justin Jefferson got selected, yeah. And Brandon Ayuk got selected as well. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Still, there's got to be some guys after.
There are guys. But, I mean, it's one of those things where the draft, really, that's how you improve your team this year. If you're the Packers, to me, like, that's how you improve your team. Outside of making a quarterback switch, that's how you improve your team if you're the Titans, because I don't anticipate the Titans being like some huge money spender in free agency.
Right. Like, I found $30 million with my awesome plan.
Yeah.
As I'm actually hoping assistant GM Jared Stillman will hire me as
scoping it over
as an intern. But even if you find that, and yes, there's going to be, you can manipulate contracts, sure. But I mean, just playing it straight up, even if you find that, that's so that you can tag Landry or whatever you're going to do with Landry, re-sign Ben Jones for a cheaper deal, and you can, you know, you can pay your draft class.
Yeah.
Like, there's no free agent moves allowed by my plan. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you're going to have to do if you're the Titans to create the space. But, yeah, I mean, the draft, it's got to be fruitful this year.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as they take on Edmonton coming up later tonight. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here is Benning. Left the puck in the corner as Donato came in after him. Fed by Appleton. Giordano lining up his shot. It's deflected wide, and Forsberg comes up with the rebound and speeds down the right wing side into the Seattle zone. Forsberg with a quick shot. Oh, my! And he ties the game up, beating Grubauer high. It's 2-2.
Coach, it's not the first time we've seen something like this, but any thoughts on Phillips' goal tonight and just his play overall?
Well, it was a great goal. You know, I thought all three goals were key goals at key times for us. Two of them were obviously coming from behind to tie it. One at right at the end of the first period, which was key. And then Phillip, you know, they had a little bit of momentum. I mean, it was just a great play by him. You know, that's the ability that he has. He, you know, uses his speed up ice, and, you know, finds his way into the scoring area with a nice move. And then we all know he's got a, you know, this guy can score. I mean, Phillip's got a great shot. He's got a knack for the net. That was a big time. That was a goal scorer's goal. And, you know, that's what he's done for us quite a bit this year. I mean, he's come up, you know, he scored a lot for us. I think he's playing the game the right way. And that's what you need, guys, that you're playing in a lot of situations, come up with some big plays at key times. And Phillip's been able to do that. He did it again tonight.
Phillip Forsberg out there taking names on a nightly basis for the Nashville Predators. Did it again the other night against Seattle. We'll see if he can do it again tonight against Edmonton. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Hal Gill, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Hal, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Just we didn't make this trip, and so we're stuck behind. But sticking around to stay up and watch a late one was a good win, so I'm hoping we stick around and stay up late to watch this one as well.
That's right. Going to be a good one coming up tonight. Hal, you've watched Phillip Forsberg play a lot of hockey, and he's played a lot of good hockey in his career. What are you kind of seeing from him right now in terms of not only the way that he's scoring goals, but the consistency that he's playing with on a nightly basis? Is this the best that he's ever played in your mind?
Yeah. No, he's playing the right way. When Phil is on fire, we've seen him go on heaters where he's, you know, if he has time and space and he gets a shot off, he's deadly. And what he's doing now is creating those moments, creating that space and creating that time. and driving the net. We've seen power moves from him. We've seen speed moves from him. We've seen him, and I'll give Duchesne some credit for his success as well, because I feel like they're kind of feeding off each other. But, you know, you got your eye on one guy, and then you have to watch the other guy. And if you have a full team focused on just one player, it's a lot easier to shut that guy down. So, I think they've been playing well off each other. And Phil is, I've been saying it for years. He's a 40-50 goal scorer in my mind. Like, if he puts it all together, and right now he's kind of trending that way, using that power stride with that speed and with that skill.
So in past years, you know, when he's had these stretches where he's just, you know, overwhelmingly productive, and then obviously he's had dry spells too, what would be the difference in how he approached it from your vantage point to now?
I think pushing that, you know, sometimes, you know, you try to, as a forward, and I played against a bunch of guys that would do this, you kind of fade off to the outside to try to get some space to shoot, you know, because you have a great shot. And, you know, defensemen are smart. They'll sense it. They'll say, okay, you're fading off. I'll let you go, and I'll give you that shot because it's too far outside. If you want to get into prime scoring areas, sometimes you're going to have to pay the price, you know. Like, maybe it's the first shift. You go down and you drive the net, and it backs that defenseman off and sends a message to the rest of the game that you're going to be a power forward, and defensemen have to be ready for that. And so if you set it up early on in the game where you're attacking the net, maybe it works, but maybe it doesn't. But you send the message, and then the next time you come down, that defenseman is ready for that power move, backs off a little bit, and now you don't have to fade off as far to get into a shooting position. And I'm breaking it down in one play, but if you imagine that all over the ice, I feel like Phil is pushing the center of the ice more regular, and it's creating better scoring chances on the perimeter for him, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
How rare is the defenseman wraparound goal that we saw from Ekholm the other night? It was pretty good.
You know what? I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. I feel like when you watch Ekholm and especially Josi, when they cycle down below the net, Carrier is always down there. He had a goal that he attacked from behind the net. It's tough. Defensive coverage is pretty specific on, you know, I'm going to cover my point guy. And when my point guy goes down, there's got to be a transition. Like, is that forward going all the way with you, or is that defenseman supposed to pick up the defenseman coming down the boards? And so there's a little lapse in communication a lot of times. And, you know, Ekholm just found himself all alone. And I think it's a smart play. Just get it from behind the net to the front of the net where all the good things happen. And it was a good bounce and a nice goal from Ekki, because I feel like Ekholm has been so good offensively, and he hasn't gotten a ton of points. He had some points start to pile up a little while ago, but I'd like to see him get more on the score sheet, because I think he deserves it.
Hal, I don't know how much this really matters. I mean, even the team, even this year compared to last year, is different here, and a lot of things have changed. But the Preds have had troubles with the Oilers lately. They've lost four in a row. They're giving up like 5 goals a game in those 4 games. Is it as simple as, I mean, like, either you contain the McDavid Dreisaitl duo or you don't?
Yeah, it's tough. I think the problem with the Oilers, and I say the same thing, I played with Pittsburgh and you had Malkin and Crosby. When you have a two-headed monster like they do, you have to be aware at all times, because you never know when something is going to happen. You know, it's when I was playing defense for the Penguins, I knew I didn't have to make plays. I could just play good, solid defense, and more often than not, we'd get a goal from one of those guys. And so I feel like the Oilers can play that slow game. You know, they've been jinxed lately, and they're trying to come out of what seems like a miserable month of slump. It's just been awful for them. But they know those guys are there, and they know they can make plays. And so they can wrap it up defensively and play hard to play against and know that they're going to get the scoring. And so, you know, when you're playing against them, it's going to be a full 60, full 65, because even if you're tight in a game, those guys can turn around the last 2 minutes. They start playing together, and then they start scoring goals. So it's never a slam dunk when you're playing against these guys.
Hal Gill brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. And Hal, I'm interested to go a little bit deeper on that because, you know, obviously you played against a lot of really good players in your career. I don't know that anybody had, like, the foot speed that Connor McDavid brings to the table. Maybe they did. You can tell me. But when you're going up against a player that's that gifted and that fast, as far as, like, your gap control is concerned with your defense, like, how do you do that with a guy like McDavid that it really doesn't matter how you play him, he can get by you at any moment?
Yeah, no, it's tough. I mean, speed kills, and he's got a ton of it. It's funny because, you know, I look back at some of the more impactful players. You know, Ovechkin is a guy that, you know, he's got speed, and when he attacks, he's a bull. So it's tough to play against a guy like that. You know, Pavel Bure back in the day was like a roadrunner.
Oh, yeah.
If he got a step on you, he was gone. What the hard part, well, McDavid, and what he does so well is the change in direction and one push, and it's like he's in full speed. You know, it's got a deceptive long stride, so it looks like he's going, you know, taking some time off and coasting, but then all of a sudden it's one more stride and he's back to full speed. And so the second you get caught leaning is when he takes advantage of that. And so if you cross over against him, he's going to go back the other way. And he's got the ability, the footwork, to make it look like he's going one way, and then he's got a quick cross under, and he's going the other way. And so that's all happening at full speed, which makes it really tough to defend against. I will say Ekholm, I thought, has played well against him. He's
yeah.
matched up against him, and he uses his skating, and he doesn't fall for the little nibbles, you know. He doesn't reach. If you reach against him, he's going to zigzag and he's gone. And so, you know, Ekholm has done a really good job of using his stick and keeping his body centered. But it's, I think it comes down to a full five players have to play well against him. And you've seen the highlight reels of McDavid where he goes through teams because everyone's kind of frozen. You know, you need a forward to go at him as hard as they can. Even if they get beat, just force them to one side. If you stand there and let him pick you apart, then he'll just pick one at a time. It's like ninjas attacking, you know. They always tackle one at a time. If you can all, you know, if you've seen the movies, if all the ninjas just came out at one time, then they'd be able to take over the good guy.
Yeah. It's got to be one after another so that you can, you know, beat one.
Just get in line.
The next one. Yeah, right. Yeah,
get like in line. That. A proper fight line.
So, Hal, I feel like the other night, it seems to me like Soros is almost taken for granted at times a little bit. Like, I feel like the other night, before the Preds found their footing, you know, he was a big part of why they were okay and able to overtake the game. I'm just wondering, from your perspective, do you feel like league-wide – he is getting the recognition, appreciation? Like, do you get that sense as you go around the league and talk to people that the rest of the league gets how good he is? And, of course, I'm asking this because I do feel like this year he should certainly be in the very short discussion about who should win the Vezina.
Yeah, I think he is getting that credit. The problem with the league is, if you look around, there's so many hot goaltenders that just pop up. And, you know, we just saw Husso the other night, and all of a sudden he's the player of the week. You know, he's coming out of nowhere. You know, there's different goalies that run hot at certain times. The thing about Juice is that he's just been so consistent, right? Every night he gives the Preds a chance to win. And, you know, that's something to be said when you look up and down as far as most valuable players and you know, all the awards that you could win. Like, all you're looking for from a goalie is to keep you in every game. And then he's stealing games as well. And we've thrown some of the stats around, like, you know, he has more steals, and this is getting analytical, a little out of my comfort zone, but he has more steals by far than any other goalie, which means he's not only giving them a chance to win, but he's finding ways to steal games. And so I just think the national media, the NHL is taking notice. They certainly know, and you can see, watch when guys are playing against them, they'll second guess. They'll have a good shooting position, and they'll kind of wait to make the next play, you know, because they have respect for what Juice is doing, and they're not just going to throw a shot on net and hope it goes in, because they know it's got to be something special if it's going to beat them.
Preds Radio analyst Hal Gill, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday morning at 9:30. Hal, tell us about your friends at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, let me tell you about my friends at Dunkin'. Yeah, there's a new next-gen donut coming up at 500 Cool Springs. Go check it out. It's one of my favorite places to go. I have mine over here on Harding Pike. You know, go in, get a chicken biscuit, get a sausage, egg, and cheese, get a bacon, egg, and cheese, on a bagel, on a croissant, on an English muffin, whatever you want, they got it. Of course, they have donuts. My kids are all over the munchkins. But it's one of my favorite parts of the day is getting my Dunkin' Midnight. It's the dark roast, and it'll knock your socks off. It's delicious. So get out there and get your dunks.
That's right. Hal, appreciate you, brother.
Take it easy.
Absolutely. Hal Gill, Preds Radio analyst, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back, react a little bit to what Hal had to say. Got more of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Thanks to our buddy Hal Gill for joining us in the last segment. Going to be interesting to watch, see if the Preds can keep it going tonight. They are winners of three in a row. Be cool to close out the road trip tonight with a win in Edmonton, come back home next week to take on Vancouver. But I'm going to make a bold prediction. Philip Forsberg scores tonight. Does that count?
Yeah, I don't think that would. I don't think we'd let that go for call your shot.
Okay.
If today was Friday, we'd probably would have to eliminate that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I keep getting texted videos from Mike Sando of Dan Fouts. In that game. Yeah. Look at this.
He's just. Who knew that Sando had all these Dan Fouts clips just stored up?
Well, he just watched the whole game. The Chargers Dolphins game.
Yeah.
You just watch it. There's a sweet TD pass to is that James Brooks? Man, they were loaded. Yeah, so he just watched
Dan
the whole
Fouts
thing
on the show.
YouTube. We do. We need to get Dan Fouts on. He needs to understand the love that Nashville has for him.
Well, I mean, you tried to explain it to him, at least from your love for him.
He's a little weirded out.
it's
kind of like, okay, yeah, all right. Well, good talking to you.
Dan Fouts and Nick Westbrook Aquina, like some support group Joe Rexroad meeting this offseason.
I just want one time for Dan Fouts to throw a pass to Nick Westbrook Aquina.
Got to get you a Dan Fouts button, too. There's many things we can get figured out here.
Yeah, yeah.
Lester texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, well, Packers offensive coordinator Hackett goes to Denver as head coach. We ain't getting Rodgers in Tennessee. So Hackett. Hired by the Broncos.
Packers still have to, you know, trade him.
Execute the trade.
Yeah.
Now, to Sando's point, they can both kind of pick where they want to go. But, I mean, as Keyshawn Johnson said, if you're Aaron Rodgers, and you're looking around saying, where can I win a Super Bowl? I mean, there are worse places to go than the Titans.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers is like, yeah, I want to be in the division with Mahomes.
He might be.
And Herbert. And I'm going to show you who's boss.
Yeah.
I think he lacks for self-confidence.
I don't think that he does either. Ben on the text line says, bold prediction, no trades by the Titans before week one of any kind. So no trades by John Robinson and the Titan before week one of any kind. Is that a bold prediction?
Yeah. I mean, there aren't a ton of trades anyway. What if, you know, two of the last three off seasons, you had the big Julio Jones trade. You had the, obviously, the what seemed like a nice little trade for Ryan Tannehill with the Dolphins.
Which did work out, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's worked out. I mean, that's the thing. Ryan Tannehill completely changed the expectations.
Yeah.
But let's if you said when they made that trade, you told someone, here, look at all these numbers, look at their numbers, look at all that's happened. Every single person who roots for the Titans will say, holy crap, really? Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that
things have changed.
The last thing that you saw was as ugly as you thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, maybe he comes back next year and looks a little bit. I mean, Todd Downing, year two. Looks like Shane Bowen, year two.
Listen.
Coming back in there.
Hey, listen.
I'm not going to totally dismiss it. I know a lot of people want to today.
Oh, of course. I mean there's no reason. Like, it's too early to have any optimism.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like when Heupel got hired.
Yeah.
You just wait.
Which
by August, the hype train.
I think it was a year ago yesterday, wasn't it? Heupel getting hired at Tennessee.
Yeah, right around there, yeah.
Oh, man.
Danny, why?
Oh, man.
And it's worked out all right. Yeah. The redemption story, all that stuff, like, that'll be for later. You know, Tannehill come back, and you know, he's committed to being even better, and he and Downing are going to, you know, figure it out, and Downhill is going to go uphill.
Ben texting in says, if you told me that Tannehill wouldn't get us a Super Bowl, I would have said, leave him in Miami. Really? That's what you would have said at the time of the trade?
Yeah, when they traded for him, it was like,
to be the backup quarterback.
He better bring us a Super Bowl. Yeah,
you're going to give up basically nothing to get Ryan Tannehill in here and not win a Super Bowl. You leave him.
Just
take him back.
Right. You paid $2 million for him
in
2019 for him to get you to the AFC title game.
Yeah.
Not just him, but again, if we're attributing this loss to him, and I do, you can't give no credit for the wins to him previously.
Correct.
So, overall, you would have taken this for sure. And now it's just it's a matter of
– are we going to go back to being Tannehill stands now? Is that what we're doing?
No. And, no. And by the way, you know, Jared, let me just say, I yelled at him on Jared versus Joe yesterday for this tweet. We talked about the tweet yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Where I'm apparently saying he deserves next year.
What?
Yeah. Like, you're just making crap up. You don't need to make – you have a good show – you got some insights. You got some entertainment value. You don't need to lie. Don't lie.
Yeah. Some breaking news in the NFL front. This is coming from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. The Chicago Bears are working to hire Matt Eberflus as their new head coach.
Interesting.
So going from the
D
Colts
guy
to the Bears.
Defensive guys can get head coaching jobs too.
They can.
Even today. That's interesting. So
that's,
I guess that's
an interesting hire with Justin Fields as your quarterback.
Yeah, but, you know.
I mean, look, we see this happen.
Yeah, I mean it comes down to what's his OC hire.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that. If you feel like he's a good overall CEO head coach, then, you know, go with
it. Get in there, TB12.
Man, I mean, how could people not be hiring Tom Brady and Drew Brees to be OCs
right
now?
Man.
Like, they're obviously
heard some
of amazing OCs.
Yeah, heard some of that yesterday. Just wait. Colts hire Tom Brady as the OC, Rodgers as the quarterback. Just get them both in there.
Oh yeah,
just really get after it.
Dream team. So has that hurt the Colts? Eberflus, like, is that a, you know? Do you look at the Colts and say, hey, you know, I mean, he's a good DC.
Yeah, good DC. I mean, they've just got a lot of really good players on that side of the ball. So
the thing is with the Colts, like. And I know they had injuries at safety and stuff, but man, they need a corner.
Yeah.
You know, they really need to go get a good corner. And actually, I mean, they miss Autry this year. They missed him.
I don't think
a lot.
There's any question. I bet that's if you gave the Colts front office a list of regrets, I bet that's one of them. Letting Danico Autry walk out the door, much less to where he went.
Right. And we had the John Robinson discussion earlier, and certainly there's a lot of recent bad choices to nitpick. There's a heck of a value that he got done last offseason. Heck of a value.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back for the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road coming up tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.